So much for that is about illness and death. So, of course, it's a barrel of laughs. I wanted to read you a passage about what it's like, or what I imagine it's like, to be in bed with your wife when she has cancer. Shep slipped his hand around his wife's neck, noting mournfully how pronounced its tendons had grown, how prominent the veins. Nevertheless, it was still Glynis's neck. The breasts at the gape of her nightgown were smaller, though they'd never been large. The nipples had darkened, and the skin was starting to crenulate, but they were still Glynis's breasts. He kissed her. She returned his kiss with all the hunger, so little in evidence at dinner. Shep had always felt a little guilty about the intensity with which he was attracted to his wife. Physically attractive, he did not confuse the desire with anything more ethereal or romantic. He loved the way she looked, not just well turned out, but especially naked. And he worried that he loved the way she looked too much. He was addicted to the rim of her hip bone, to sliding his hand into its hollow and down into the darkening crease. She had long legs and sharp, shapely kneecaps. The attraction went back to the first time they met and was excruciatingly specific to Glynis. It probably qualified as unhealthily obsessive. He would have been embarrassed to admit to his gruff, lewd co-workers that for the whole of his marriage, he'd not been drawn to any other woman other than his wife. They would never believe him. Or if they did believe him, they would pity him as somehow a lesser man with no imagination and no drive. Perhaps this was true. Perhaps there was something wrong with him, something missing. Yet the fixation was exclusive and not within his gift to relax. Its strength seemed to wax and wane somewhat, but within a narrow range. At any given time, he might be attracted to Glynis, incredibly attracted to Glynis, or overpoweringly attracted to Glynis. Over the years, they'd have sex, sometimes often, sometimes less so. But he could honestly say that it had never bored him, never grown tired. Not that it was anyone else's business, but she liked it a little rough, which was giving him some problems these last few months. First, there was the incision from the surgery, which he had to take care not to touch, although she hadn't wanted him right after. Too many hands and instruments had pried inside her, and she couldn't bear even so kindly a violation, sleeping in a tight, private ball. The scar wasn't as tender now, and she had gradually grown less protective of it. He was sure that at first she'd felt ashamed, fearful that she was spoiled. True, he wouldn't call the red, now browning ridge exactly a turn-on, but it did something else to him, which did feel manly. It broke his heart. It drove him to shelter her, to press his torso against hers, and thus place the whole of his mass between his wife and the knifing world. Eventually, it was Glynis who'd had to importune that he stop handling her like china. She had indeed come to seem breakable to him, and under the influence of chemotherapy, she was literally bruisable, so that when he did as she requested, she woke the next morning with thumb-shaped purple blotches down her thighs. The thing was, he knew that he loved her in that finer way, but as much as he relished the mingling of the two, He knew also that this physical desire was separate, a distinct wanting that had to do with line and shape and color, with breasts and hair and smell. It did not have to do with her dry sense of humor, her slyness, the beguiling barbarity of her character. It did not have to do with her willfulness, her infuriating self-destructiveness, or her spiritual alliance with metal. It had to do with the proportions of her legs, her long waist, her tiny, hard-muscled ass. For years, he had privately anguished about her pending old age, the prospect of which was now a luxury. Inevitably, then, since her diagnosis, he had privately anguished about cancer. He was too attracted to his wife, but he was used to being too attracted. And if all that was left was the nice love, the warm, appreciative, admiring love without the gutter love, the unseemly, sordid animal love, he would feel lesser, and the love would feel lesser. In its very purity and high-mindedness and mere goodness, smaller and less interesting and less addictive. He did not want to stop being attracted to his wife. It was not easy to face, but for 26 years he had not only loved a woman, he had loved a body.